Ted Sorensen has always described himself as a proud liberal, and that lifelong political orientation probably took root soon after his birth on May 8, 1928, in the Midwestern city of Lincoln, Nebraska. Sorensen says he inherited his outlook from his mother, who was a feminist and a committed pacifist, and his father, who was also a pacifist, a Unitarian minister, and a one-time state attorney general.
Both of them brought up their children to believe in peace both at home and abroad.
Unlike his future friend and boss, John F. Kennedy, who had been a World War II naval combat hero, Sorensen declared himself to be a conscientious objector when he was drafted by the U.S. military after the end of World War II. He told the draft board he'd be proud to join the armed services to drive an ambulance, to work in a kitchen, or in some other useful, nonviolent role.
But I did not believe in killing people. I did not want to be used to kill people. Now, of course, it was difficult. If I had wanted to be part of the approved thinking as a future politician or even as a future lawyer, that was not the way to go.
Sorensen was exempted from military service and graduated from the University of Nebraska Law School in 1949 at the top of his class. In 1951, hoping to work on public policy, he went to Washington, where he soon signed on as a legislative aide to the newly elected U.S. Senator from Massachusetts, John F. Kennedy. The two became close friends, and when Kennedy launched his campaign for president in January 1960, Sorensen went with him as a speechwriter, political strategist, and confidant. Together, they traveled to all 50 states.
And, of course, the individual who wields the pen has an opportunity to convey his ideas in speech form.
Kennedy was free to change the ideas or phrasing in the speeches Sorensen prepared for him, and he sometimes did during the early days of their association. But Sorensen believes that over time, he was able to persuade Kennedy to share many of his views.
He had come from his father's conservative house, and I had come from my father's progressive house, and therefore had an opportunity to educate John F. Kennedy on a progressive philosophy and its merit. And the emphasis in his campaign was on diplomacy, on the Peace Corps, on disarmament, on arms control, on finding ways to settle our differences with the Russians and the Soviet Union other than killing each other with nuclear weapons.
The line between Kennedy's words and Sorensen's has often been unclear. Until his recent memoir, Counselor, A Life at the Edge of History, Sorensen did not acknowledge the full extent of his role in drafting Kennedy's 1956 bestseller, Profiles in Courage. The book won Kennedy the Pulitzer Prize and probably helped him win the White House in 1960. But when Sorensen is asked who is responsible for the famous line in Kennedy's inaugural address, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country," Sorensen says, with a twinkle, "Ask not." Kennedy took office during the height of the Cold War between the U.S. and the Soviet Union, and the nuclear arms race between the superpowers was essentially uncontrolled. It was in that context that Sorensen helped write Kennedy's famous June 10, 1963 commencement speech at the American University in Washington, D.C.
The most beautiful passage in the American University speech is where he's saying, in effect, yes, the Soviet Union has a different objective than we do. Of course, it has a different system than we do. But, he said, we can make the world safe for diversity.
For in the final analysis, our most basic common link is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's futures. And we are all mortal.
The very next day, President Kennedy delivered a nationally televised speech on civil rights, a speech Sorensen says he was especially proud to have crafted. it was tied to the president's decision to order the Alabama National Guard to usher in the first two black students admitted to the once segregated state university. Here are some edited excerpts.
We are confronted primarily with a moral issue. It is as old as the scriptures and is as clear as the American Constitution. The heart of the question is whether all Americans are to be afforded equal rights and equal opportunities, whether we are going to treat our fellow Americans as we want to be treated. If an American, now the time has come for this nation to fulfill its promise.
On November 22, 1963, President Kennedy was killed by an assassin's bullet. The murder devastated Sorensen, who has written that, "Deep in my soul, I have not stopped weeping." Sorensen helped Kennedy's successor, Lyndon Johnson, for 3 months before leaving the White House to write his first memoir, Kennedy, which became an international bestseller in 1965. He was a major player in the 1968 presidential bid by Senator Robert Kennedy, John Kennedy's younger brother and former U.S. Attorney General. Robert Kennedy's campaign ended tragically, of course, when he too fell victim to an assassin. Though Sorensen remained involved in national politics after 1968, he focused his energies on his international law practice. It is work he sees as another face of the peacekeeping between peoples that has always motivated him.
There will be differences, of course. Countries have different cultures, different habits, different histories, different domestic politics, different geographic and economic conditions that affect their interests in the world. So differences are inevitable. But settling those differences by violence is neither inevitable nor useful, much less necessary.
Ted Sorensen continues to be active today. He was an early supporter of President Barack Obama, whose ideals, he says, closely resemble those of President Kennedy. He is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and sits on the board of the International Center for Transitional Justice, a nonprofit group that helps countries pursue accountability for past mass atrocities or human rights abuses. Sorensen has also been an outspoken critic of U.S. detention and interrogation practices related to the Bush administration's war on terror and has called for a bipartisan congressional inquiry into possible criminal wrongdoing. I'm Adam Phillips, VOA News.